This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a choice we make, a choice to rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, thank you all for coming today. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for joining with us today. It's an amazing day. The Lord gave us this day together. You know, you can't go back and redeem yesterday, but you can bear fruit today. You can live in the moment with Jesus today. Walk with Him daily. If you plan on serving Jesus someday, you'll never do it. You have to make up your mind. You have to say, as for me and my house, we will. We commit ourselves to that, to love Jesus back as an act of worship, gratitude for all He's done for us. Hallelujah. We're debtors of love. Hallelujah. So much, I was talking with somebody yesterday about the music today, and so much of the music today is really focused on self. If you contrast that to the way the music used to be years ago, and you look at the hymns, they're focused on God. You know, and a lot of times we just come to God because we have need, and we want God to do something for us. And we get desperate in our lives and we need a miracle, and we begin to seek the Lord. We press into God, and God begins to, in His goodness and His mercy, He starts to take care of your needs, and He blesses you because He's just a good Father, isn't He? He's a good God. And then unfortunately, a lot of times once we get the blessing, then we also forget the God who gave the blessing. And we can run off and do our own thing instead of returning to the Lord to give Him glory. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, remember? Only one returned to give glory to the Lord. And the Lord said to him, your faith has made you whole. In a sense, He's saying your faith has saved you. You see, you can receive a physical miracle, even a blessing from God, and yet your soul can be lost. Because the Lord causes the sun to shine on just and the unjust. Causes it to rain, doesn't He? So, just because things are going well is not necessarily a sign that things are well. It's quiet in here this morning. Just because things are going well doesn't necessarily mean that things are well. As a matter of fact, sometimes when things are going contrary to what maybe we expect, we can be right in the center of God's will. Nobody likes to suffer. We want the easy road. We want the easy path. And Jesus said, that's the wide road that leads to destruction. And many go there. But narrow, difficult, confined is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Being in the will of God does not mean, how many have realized that by now, that everything is going to be going your way? No. What we want is life to go His way. And His way sometimes is a rough or steep road that we have to climb. We have to navigate through some difficult places, some turbulent waters. But God promised that when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. He didn't say if you go through the waters. He didn't say if you go through the waters. He said when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Do you understand the waters that Israel had to had to pass through were necessary for them to get to their destiny? But we don't want the waters. We want to take the easy route. The Lord, send a helicopter. And you know, a lot of times we're in our own imagination, our own minds, we've got it all figured out. Well, if I were God, I would do this for me. How many know that when we live as our own God, we make a mess of our life? And so we're saying, why, God? If it was me, I would have done it this way. And so what happens is a lot of times we do it our way and we make a mess of it. And God is trying to teach us to trust Him. You're not going to always understand why, but there's a purpose for the waters. There was a purpose for the three Hebrew children, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to spend some time in the fiery furnace. That was the safest place for them to be. That was the will of God. However, the good news is that who else was there with them? You see, Jesus was not outside of the fire, but He was in the fire. And for them to not bow down to the King and to His golden image, right, meant that they were going to go through the fire. But in that case, God was in the fire. Now, I wonder what would happen if they had bowed down to that golden idol. You know? You understand that sometimes we're looking for the easy way, the easy path, the path of least resistance. But sometimes the will of God is going to take you through difficult waters, through difficult places. But God is with you in the waters. Amen? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He said, the rivers will not overflow you, and through the fire you shall not be burned, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God is with us. God is in the fire. If you're going through the fire, know that if you're a child of God, you are in the palm of your Father's hand. No one is able to snatch you out of His hand. Amen? God knows all about what you're going through. God's going to take care of you. All we need to do is lean back in His arms and let go and say, God, I don't have to figure it all out. I just need to find refuge in You. Only in God is there true refuge. Only in Him is a place of quiet rest. Only in Him is that place where sin cannot molest. It's near the heart of God. It's about you and I abiding, continuing in Him. He is our strength. He becomes our salvation. We were trying to save ourselves, but Jesus stepped in because it was impossible for us to do so. And He says, you're going to have to let go of your life. You're going to have to let Me have it in order for you to receive My life. You understand? You can't, as long as you're holding out and holding on, you can't have what He has. God cannot bless. God cannot change. God cannot heal. Anything that we're not willing to give Him. We just can't enter into some bargain or agreement with God and say, oh, God, I'll give You this, I'll give You that. No, because in the areas that we refuse to yield to Him, the enemy can camp out. In those areas where we are sympathetic towards sin in our lives, those are places of safety or refuge. Those are what the Bible calls strongholds of the devil. It's those places where we rationalize and justify sin and make excuses for it. Oh, it's not that bad. Besides, everybody else is doing it. And the devil says, perfect. Boys, we've got a place right here to establish a beachfront, a beachhead. All we need to do is get our foot in the door. Amen. I did sales for a very short time. And I wasn't any good at it, that's why, but they taught you is that you got to get your hand on inside the on the room or get your foot in the door. They open the door, you got to kind of get started into the door, and many people will feel obligated then to, well, you're halfway in now, you might as well come on in. Let me hear what you got to say. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's what the devil does. He's looking for an end. He's looking for a way to just get a bit into your life. Just a little bit of a compromise. You may be saying inside, I really don't want to do this. But maybe you felt intimidated. Maybe you felt pressured to conform. Pressured to compromise. Come on, somebody. And the enemy says, great, we've got a place now. And as you know, all he needs is a little compromise. That's all he needs. Just a little sympathy, as the song said, a little sympathy for the devil, so he can establish a stronghold in your life. And once he has set up camp in there, he's going to call in the other boys. Hey guys, guess what? We've got a compromiser. We've got a chameleon here. We've got a conformer here. Be not conformed to this world. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Resist the devil and he will. Yeah. God wants his people to be free. And he cannot save, he cannot redeem that which he doesn't possess. Do you understand that God waits for us to be through with us? And when we're through with us, then we're actually ready for him. We're not really ready for Jesus if we're not willing to let him have us. Because he can't have what we don't give him. And we've got to step over the threshold, amen, out of death and into light, into life. You can't just keep a foot in the door, amen? You've got to step over that threshold. You've got to step out of death. You've got to repent. Turn away from your sinful ways and completely surrender your life. Come into his light. Come into his presence. And give yourself to him. And what God has, he can change. He can transform. He can renew. He can bless and multiply. Because if, let's face it, all we've got really is a few fishes and loaves to offer God. We don't really have much to give God. We may think we do. But if God has that little lunch, if we're willing to give him what we do have, Jesus can say, I'm going to bless it and I'm going to multiply it and you're going to bear much fruit. And not only will you glorify the Lord, but you will have an abundant welcome into my kingdom. You will have a treasure in heaven that will never fade or perish. I don't know about you, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And in the process of walking with the Lord, sometimes the will of God is going to lead you into places where you wouldn't have chosen for yourself. But in that place, right, God is going to do a miracle there because he's in the water with you. He's in the fire with you. He's in the place of obedience. He's in the place where he told us to be. That's where he will be. We talk about open heavens. You want an open heaven? Be obedient to his voice. You'll have an open heaven in your life. God, he said, where I am, there my servant will be also. Hallelujah. Now, what I'm going to talk about this morning is kind of tagging on to what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Talking about prayer, the importance of it, how to pray effectively, about calling. Last week it was on calling out and on the name of the Lord and the power that is released. In the time there's a necessary shout, is the walls of Jericho came down with a shout. Amen. It's biblical. There's times when we need to be silent, and there's other times when we need to be vocal. And we need to be loud. Amen. So did everybody get that last week that was here? Do you understand that what I'm telling you is supported by the word of God? This is God's way. Men began to call on the name of the Lord. It was audible. It was not a silent whisper of prayer in the morning thing. Amen. There was a shout. The Lord has gone up with a shout. Amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. We declare. And so today, the title of this message is Prayer, Praise, and Warfare. And I've talked about this before, but I really feel like God wants us, in this, especially in this season, to focus in on this again. Because this is something that you just can't hear once. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You've got to hear things until you understand things. Amen? I've read many passages in the scripture many times and have not understood them. And then one day the Holy Spirit turns the light on and gives me revelation. And I begin to understand what he was saying. He begins to speak to me by his spirit. Again, you cannot learn God in a classroom in the sense that I can just go to some kind of seminary or some school and know God. How many know there are people that have a lot of information, a lot of Bible knowledge, but actually don't know the Lord? The only way to know God is by revelation. He has to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And even Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So we need revelation, that our eyes of our hearts will be enlightened. And God is the one who does this. If we are hungry, if we thirst for righteousness, and the Lord is our righteousness, we shall be filled. Amen. And if we're not hungry for the Lord, if we're not hungry, if we don't have a hunger for the word and for the things of God, then we need to ask the question, what am I full of? What am I filling myself up on if I'm not hungry for his presence? What other gods have I allowed in my life? What's choking the life of God out of me? Are you hearing me? What is distracting me? What is filling that void in my life? Is it the Lord, or are there other things that are creeping in and crowding out the Lord? Do you know the Lord will not dwell in an unclean temple? We know that. The temple has to be pure. Amen. It has to be holy. It has to be prepared. And the Lord is also the one that does that, who makes us ready, makes us holy to receive his presence. We have to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to be cleansed by the water of the word. We need the word and the spirit working together to prepare us to be that temple that will house the presence of God. Again, if you don't give God permission, he's not going to barge the door down. If you want to fill yourself with everything else and the worldly stuff, that's what your life is going to be about. And that's the fruit that you're going to bear. Amen? But if we're willing to give God the whole offering and be a vessel that is willing to open and yield and allow God to come into the secret places, come into the dark places and say, God, I don't want any part of me dark. I don't want anything in me that would displease you. And I give you permission, Lord, to come into my heart, come into every void, every place in my life. And I want you to bring your light and bring your revelation, bring your truth. For the entrance of your word brings light. And wherever there's light, it will expel and drive out darkness. And I say, Lord, let your presence arise in me. Let God arise in me, and let your enemies be scattered. I want to be pure. How about you? I don't want to be mixed. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be worldly-minded. Amen? I want to be God-minded. Hallelujah. I want to have a heavenly mind. And you know, you've heard it said, oh, you're so heavenly-minded, you know what? Earthly good. How about reversing that and say, well, guess what? You're not any earthly good unless you're heavenly minded. Think about it. That's actually the truth. That's a lie that you're so heavenly minded. If you're heavenly minded, you'll be earthly good. If you're heavenly minded, you'll be a hardworking person. Amen? You'll be a person of an integrity. You'll be a responsible individual if you're heavenly minded. You'll take care of your family. You'll provide for your family. Come on, somebody. If you're heavenly minded, amen, your passions, your desires will be centered in Christ and not self. And people don't need us. They need Jesus. Prayer is our privilege of approaching our Father's throne, calling on him, coming and receiving all that we have need of to help us, to empower, to strengthen. and prepare us, equip us for the mission of God on the earth. We must be people of prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, you don't have any power. You're not going to be effective. And the first thing you've got to conquer is yourself. Come on, somebody. You're not going to conquer yourself if you're not a person of prayer. If you don't have the power of God, you're not going to be able to do that. You know, some people want to take a city, but what about taking yourself first? People want to be involved in ministry. How about the first beginning with you, making sure that you are right with God? Amen. I don't want somebody vomiting their stuff on me, praying for me, amen, if they're full of the devil. There's a lot of parking lot prophets out there, aren't there? Just people running amok, you know, vomiting all this garbage out on people and saying, God told me to tell you. What God are you talking about? My God is holy. And his servants need to be holy, amen, in order to contain him. And a tree is known by its... 2 Corinthians today, chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. We're going to go back to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Bringing every thought. Turn to your neighbor and say, every thought into captivity. To what? Obedience to Christ. So we're... is the battle. The main battle's in our minds, isn't it? That's where we're dealing with stuff. Believe me, whenever God's going to do something good, the enemy's always messing with me. Amen? But I don't have to put up with it. That's the good news. You don't have to. You take those thoughts captive. You say, no, not entertaining that, not going there, not thinking that, not speaking that, not doing that. You resist the devil, he will flee. Sometimes resisting means that you have to stand your ground and you have to fight for a season, amen, to overcome that thing. It's not always an instant gratification thing. Sometimes you've got to stay in a stance of standing your ground and refusing to yield to temptation. If you have an addiction problem, if you refuse to yield to that temptation, and you call on the name of the Lord for grace, and then you continue to stand and say, no, I'm not going there. I repent of that. I refuse to bow down to that anymore. Yeah. After a while, the devil says, you know what, boys, we're wasting our time on this one. Let's go find somebody else that's willing to listen to us. Resisting means I stand my ground, amen, until that passes and that's gone. Amen. Sometimes you just got to tell the devil, I rebuke you, I renounce you, I command you in Jesus' name to go. Amen. And sometimes you're going to have to go toe to toe for a season in your life. There are bigger devils, amen. If you want to go to a greater level, there's a bigger devil, amen, that you got to deal with. And God wants to take us higher. God wants to bring us into a place of stability. God doesn't want his people to be shaken. He doesn't want his people to be tossed to and fro. He doesn't want his people, amen, to be double-minded, to be wishy-washy. He doesn't want his people to be weak-kneed. He doesn't want his people to be fearful. Come on, somebody. God wants his people to be bold, to be strong in him, in the power of his might. Some of us are strong in ourselves. And when we're strong in ourselves, we cannot be strong in the Lord. When we're confident in ourselves, we cannot have the confidence that comes by faith in Christ. The confidence that God gives. The gift of faith. So that word mighty means powerful, capable, or strong. The weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal or of human origin, but mighty in God for pulling down these strongholds. Now, I already explained, remember, a stronghold is a place of security. It's a place where we're maybe compromising or yielding, or it may be an involuntary stronghold. It may be something that happened when you were a child and somebody took advantage of you, or maybe you were born into a situation, you know, where something got passed down generationally and you were born with this thing, this condition or this stronghold. God wants to demolish those things. But the first step to overcoming strongholds is to realize that they exist and that they're real. Amen. And also to realize that there is a solution, that God has come to set the captives free. God has come to set us free from those things, those chains. Amen. When you give your life to Jesus, you enter into warfare automatically. It's not an option. I wish it were. But it's not an option. We are in a battle. So when you give your life to Jesus, you have just turned coat on the devil. And the devil's not happy about it. So you're going to have to learn how to stand your ground. And refuse to yield, refuse to obey, refuse to any longer bow down to that other voice that had brought you into that place in the first place, that place of destruction in your life. We've got to start taking our thoughts captive and quit entertaining these things. Oh, yeah. It's funny, people say, well, I'm going to go on a media fast. And I encourage that. That's good. Take a media fast. You know, but they never fast food or anything. They just media fast. You know, I'm suffering. I can't watch. I don't even know what the shows are anymore. Thank God for that. But soap operas and yeah. Little TV land once in a while, you know. But I'm taking a media fast. Have you ever done that? Ever just quit, shut everything off for a while? Quit watching the news even, watching the television, watching shows or anything. And then spend some time in the Word and in prayer. And then go back and turn it on. And you're going to be like, whoa. Whoa. What does the devil do? He desensitizes us, doesn't he? He does. He gets us into a place where we become insensitive and calloused. And he wants to get your conscience defiled. So it's not effective anymore. Now, the Holy Spirit works with our conscience, does he not? He supersizes your conscience. Your conscience becomes more refined and more active, actually, by the Spirit of the Lord and through conviction. Amen. God gave man a conscience. And so that conscience can become dull or ineffective if we are allowing the wrong things into our eye gates and into our ears and even speaking the wrong things. When I start to speak the wrong things, sometimes I get off on a kick or I start to get into a negative place. I get on the wrong frequency. Anybody beside myself ever done that? I see that hand back there. No. So once in a while, we get off track, don't we? What do? Well, the Spirit of God is there to say, hey, what are you doing? You get that sense that I've grieved the Spirit. Don't ignore that. Don't, amen, quench the Spirit. Don't cut off the flow of the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God in you is grieved about something, don't go there. Don't entertain it. Do you understand that when you harden your heart against the Spirit of the Lord, your heart can become hardened? And that's speaking to the New Testament church. Brethren, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another. Encourage, lift up, build up one another daily, what it's called today. We can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If the Spirit of God deals with your heart, if God deals with you about something today, don't ignore that voice. See that you don't refuse him who speaks from heaven. God wants his people to be pure vessels that he can fill and flood with his glory, his presence, How many believe that walking in the Lord is a blessed life? There's righteousness and peace and joy in the Lord. Amen. In the Holy Spirit. So we enter into warfare, whether we like it or not. And then what God does do, though, is He gives us an authorization. He gives us authority to enforce what He's already accomplished for us at the cross. Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers. Jesus has overcome all the works of the devil. Come on, somebody. He's overcome the world. And so He gives us authorization by His Spirit to enforce. That means to establish as a fact that it's already done, it's already been accomplished. I simply need to stand on the truth and refuse anything that doesn't agree with the truth. And the devil cannot operate. He doesn't function in truth. He's a liar. In Him is no light. So, what are the weapons of our warfare? Ready? Number one, it's the Word of God. Right? The sword of the Spirit. Now, in a defensive nature, we have the blood of Jesus. The Word of God, the blood of Christ, in a defensive nature. But also, the name of Jesus, which is also an offensive weapon. The means or ways of using these weapons are, number one, you ready for this? How do I implement, how do I actually put into practice the name, the blood, and the word? Everybody say prayer. Very important. We have to first be people that pray and invoke God's divine influence into the situation, calling heaven down into the situation where we find ourselves. Number two, here's another means of implementing these weapons. We talked about it last week. Praise. Praise is toxic, what? To the devil. Number three, preaching. Speaking the truth by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And number four is the word of our testimony. Remember, the testimony is prophetic in that you're declaring in the now what God did then and bringing what He did then into the now. Amen? So we need to hang on to our confession and our testimony of what the Lord has done in our lives. Keep it outwardly. Amen? Communion is a testimony of what Jesus did. And it brings what He did then into the now. Passover was to be remembered by Israel. Why? Because it was speaking of what He did then. Amen? So that would be also released in the then and now when they celebrated it. And it would recalibrate them. It would reposition them back to where they needed to be in their thinking. Do you understand? When we go back and we look at the Word, we have to be in the mirror, don't we? So we can get our minds renewed again and get our thoughts orientated according to truth and not according to my personal opinion. Prayer. Without prayer, without a prayer life, you're going to be unable to live a life of victory. A lot of people are constantly in trouble, constantly struggling because they don't have a good prayer life. And folks, if you don't learn this lesson, you're really not going to go very far, period. You've got to cultivate a life of prayer, communion with the Lord in your spirit. Amen? Connecting with Him, coming to Him, petitioning Him, asking Him for the grace that you need and the mercy that you need in your life. God has given prayer as a gift. It really is a precious thing. And God does hear our prayers. That's what we need to understand. Last Friday night, we were praying. Several of us were here, and someone was having a very difficult time of pain. Was not able to sleep, was tormented, couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom. It was so bad. And we just agreed in prayer, and then we got a text a few minutes later from this person and said, well, it was Phil's wife. She says, call me. And so he calls, and of course he's thinking, oh no, what's going on? He calls Elva. She says, you know, I was laying here and all of a sudden I felt this warmth come over me and all the pain. And Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, you will complete this work you begun in Elva. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. God is hearing you. Do you understand? Do you believe that? Now, I want to talk about something else. Hear me. Soulish prayer is unanswered prayer. Soulish prayer is an unanswered prayer. You don't get soulish prayers answered. You get prayers answered that are in agreement with what God wants. Emotional prayer does not necessarily mean it's spiritual or in agreement with the heart of God. You can shout and spit and get all kinds of emotional, but if you're praying something that's not in agreement with the heart and will of God, you're going to be spending yourself on something that's going to be unproductive. God is sovereign. God does have a will. If you look at the life of Jesus specifically, Jesus obeyed the Father in everything that he saw the Father doing. He did. When he spoke, he heard the Father speak and he spoke that. And when he agreed, amen, with the Father's heart and desire in prayer, it was always a yes, not a maybe, because anytime you ask anything according to his will, he hears us, right? Yeah. He will do it. And how do I know what God wants? Well, by the Word. Amen. Amen. And by the Spirit of the Lord revealing to me, this is what the Father wants to have happen here in this situation. So when we pray, we want to pray specifically and according to the will of God. Jesus says, what can I do for you to the blind man? The Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now, why did Jesus ask him? Didn't Jesus not know what he needed? No. Jesus was trying to tell us, when you pray and when you ask for something, don't pray in generalities. Pray specifics with God. Amen? If you need something specific, it doesn't matter how little it is. Pray specifically. God wants to answer prayer according to his will. He'll answer that. James 4 and 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You understand, sometimes we just want the easy road. We want the easy way. We want the comfortable way. Oh, God, just give me this. Give me that. And we get mad because God doesn't do for us what we want done for ourselves. Well, how many know that God is smarter than we are? And he knows what's good for us. And sometimes what we think is good for us is not good for us. We got to just be willing to say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Do you know best? I've prayed. I've asked. Paul had to pray three times about that thorn in his flesh. Amen. And God finally just said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to know that I'm with you. Just trust me. Amen. I'm going to see you through this situation. But for whatever reason, God thought it was best not to remove this messenger of Satan that was buffeting him, because it was keeping Paul humble. How many know there's a purpose in suffering? Suffering will keep you humble. We can get proud very quickly. We can get arrogant really quickly. We can get spiritually proud. Think that somehow we're superior Christians and compare ourselves to others. But those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, the New Living Translation says it this way. I'm just going to read to you. Can you hear it? You want what you don't have as you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. We're talking about soulish prayer. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. I think we need to have an altar call right here and now. We want what gives us pleasure. Amen? And so that's why we have to deny ourselves. Amen? So that we may have the superior blessings of the Lord. It's not always about feeling good. Some people say, I like going to that church because I feel good there. Well, what if you don't feel good there? Sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. Sometimes God has to take us behind the shed a little bit, amen, and give us an attitude adjustment. And then afterwards you'll be thankful, and especially when you grow up. Amen. When we were kids, we didn't get that. You know, it's like, man, that wasn't good at all. I don't know. I hate that spanking. But when you become an adult, you say, you know what? I'm thankful I had a dad that loved me enough to give me an adjustment once in a while. I didn't understand it then, but when you grow up, then you start to understand the value of discipline. And sometimes we're just spiritual babies and we can't see the value in what's going wrong or what's not happening our way. But God wants us to grow up and know that He's good all the time. And all things will work together for our good. Another way that we need to pray is we need to pray this word right here. Amen? Pray the word of God. Because the word of God is the will of God. 1 John 5:14, I've already quoted this. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, Jesus said in John 14:13 that we need to pray in His name. Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Therefore, Philippians 2:9, God also has highly exalted Him, given Him the name which is above every name. That is Jesus. Amen. He has the name above every name. So when we are invoking the name of Jesus, we are calling on the name that is above every name. But it has to be according to our faith in that name, because if we don't believe there's power in His name, then there won't be any results, because God only honors faith. The only thing that pleases God is faith in Him. So when we pray, we have to pray with confidence that God is, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that if I'm invoking His name, the name above all names, that name is greater than all other names. He's bigger. He's greater. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. The devil wants us to shrink God down and make Himself look big. We need to see the size of our God, the God of all creation, the God of gods. Amen? The Most High God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ in us, connects us to our Father, amen, in heaven, who has all power, all authority, and He's given unto the Son the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those things in heaven, those things on earth, those things under the earth, and every tongue confess. Jesus, hallelujah. He's Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Praise is the other way, or means of using our spiritual weapons. We talked about this already. When you are praising God, how many have ever kind of been going through a rough time in your life and you just put on some praise music? And all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere just kind of shifted. You know, that should be an example to us. The devil doesn't like it. And if you don't have a CD, I don't care if you can sing or not. It's not important. You can give God praise, amen, in your own way. When you start exalting the Lord and speaking of the majesty and the glory and the goodness and the righteousness of God, and the devil hates that. He doesn't want to hang around people that praise God. That's why he wants to make you mute. He doesn't want you opening your mouth and giving God praise, because he wants to keep you snuffed out. I'll leave you alone as long as you're quiet. No, actually, if I'm noisy for Jesus, you're going to be the one that's running. That's how it works. It's toxic to the devil. Praise, amen, is a weapon of our warfare. It's a type of launching pad, if you will, into the heavenlies, where we begin to talk about and speak of and boast on our great God and Savior. Amen. And testify of what he's done for us and how he's delivered us and how he's set us free and how he crushed Pharaoh and his armies and drowned them in the sea. And we speak of the glory of God, amen, and the majesty of God and the greatness of our God. And the devil knows that he's in trouble. But if he can get you to shut up and not open your mouth and give God praise, come on, somebody. He's going to keep you shut in that prison. But you know what? The Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And therefore, I will bless the Lord and give him glory. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because I have God in me, Christ in me, I have the ability to open my mouth and speak for God, to praise God, to exalt his name. Amen? And the enemy cannot stop me. The only thing that's stopping me is my own will and my stubbornness to refuse to bow to God and do what he tells me to do when he tells me to. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I don't feel like it. You know what I'm talking about. We're emotional people, many of us, right? And I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do it. Guess what? The devil's really good at making you not feel like it. Because he knows, oh, here's a soulish person. They're emotion-driven. They're not going to do what's right. They're just going to do what they feel in the moment. Oh man, that is a recipe for disaster. If you live according to how you feel, this is where the fight comes. We say, no. I didn't want to be in this war, but when I was born again, amen, I entered into warfare. I've been a turncoat now to the spirit of darkness, and the fight is on. However, the good news is that greater is the one that's in me than he that's in the world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Jesus says, I've given you power, amen, to trample on all the works of darkness, amen, all the works of the devil, serpents and scorpions, all of it. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What do you believe? Do you believe God is bigger? The Creator God, the God of gods? I think he's a little bit bigger than the creation. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Way bigger. Way bigger. We have the God of gods on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalms 22 and 3. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. The Amplified says, but you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place, where the praises of Israel are offered. God inhabits the place of praise. Do you understand? We're kind of like a radio. We've got to get on the right station. You've got to change frequencies and you've got to tune in to heaven's station. Get out of the funk. Get out of the negativity. Get out of the ugliness. Get out of the hopelessness. Get out of the depression. Get tuned into heaven's station. Start giving God praise and glory, and in all things give thanks. Have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And we focus on those things. We're tuning into heaven's frequency, that station. It will shift the atmosphere in your mind. Amen. You'll have heaven on earth. As a matter of fact, that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring heaven to earth. So we go into those places, we go into those dark places, and we call heaven down. Because God has already defeated those enemies. He gave Israel the promise. He says, the land is yours. Go in and possess it. Walk it out. That's our job. To enforce the victory. To get into agreement with what God promises and says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. God wants to heal the land. Oh God. Jesus. Even children can drive out Satan. Children can heal the sick by the power of God, faith in God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you want to see an example of praise, look at children. You ever notice that in war-torn countries where everything is like demolished and broken and you know, everything's been destroyed, you know, you can find the children out there playing in the streets. They're playing with rocks or whatever's left, and they're having fun. They've learned how to just say, oh, well, this is what we have to deal with. We're going to make the best of it. No, it's not easy, but children are an example. We got to become like them again. We just got to get over ourselves, get over our own dignity, get over the opinions of men. Children don't care. Amen. There you find them in the store. They'll be dancing and twirling around and having fun, and they're not bound up by what people think. They'll give God praise openly. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know. Hallelujah. So Jesus said this in Psalms 8 and verse 2. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Do you understand that when children praise the Lord, when the little ones, that's you and I who are humble, amen, childlike in our faith, keeping it simple, give God praise, then He silences the enemy. Silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. Now, Jesus quoted this, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, Matthew 21:16. Well, let's go back to verse 15. Hear me. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. The religious crowd didn't like that. It was out of order, brother. They asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, Jesus replied. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise. Now, are there any children in here this morning? Amen. Amen. I am a child of God. I am a child in the court of my King. Amen. And I refuse to let the devil gag me, shut me up, put me in this place of self-confidence, self-importance. Come on, somebody. He wants to put you in this place of self-examination where you're just simply focused on you. Self-consciousness. Do you understand that with your self-consciousness, you're focused in the wrong direction? You need to be focused on the Lord, conscious of Him. Who He is in you. Amen, brother? You can't know who you are in Him unless you first know who He is in you. The focus has to be on Christ and not on self. If I'm self-conscious, I won't be conscious of God. And if I'm self-conscious, then I'm in my soul. I'm soulish. I'm in that realm where there's no faith operating. There's no power in me to change anything. I have to get over myself, look away from me, and turn away from me, and turn to Jesus. Set my sight, my affections on things above where Christ is seated. I need to look to the Lord, the author and finisher of my faith. I need to call on Him, trust in Him, hope in Him, believe Him, that all things are possible to them that believe. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what the Word says. That's what I believe. All things, not just some things, all things are possible to them that believe. My focus can't be on self. If I'm self-conscious, then I'm subject to the opinions of people, of what they want for me, what they think is best for me, how I should dress, how I should look, how I should walk, how I should talk. Are you hearing me, somebody? Thank God we can be free from that in Jesus Christ. Our identity as a son, amen, and no longer a slave to man, no longer bound by fear. I love that song that's come out recently. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Why is it important for us to silence the devil? Praise silences our enemies. Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. An accuser, amen. This is a legal term. We have defendants. It's a legal term. So the enemy is the prosecutor that's saying, they did it. Remember what you did. Guilty. But then we have an advocate with the Father. Amen? We call on the Lord. We claim His promises. We speak His promises. We speak His promises over our lives. If I don't feel forgiven, what do? I say, but God said, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's what I receive. And then it becomes real. It becomes my reality. Because it's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth of what God said and my receiving that, that frees me from the accusation, from the lie. It wants to bring up your past. And over, oh, I've confessed 100 times now. Well, not enough. You haven't paid enough penance yet. You haven't made enough trips down to the altar with that sin yet. Are you hearing me, somebody? How many beside myself have done that before? There's been something that's just been eating at you, and you've gone down and you've dealt with it over and over and over again until the day the Lord gives you this revelation that, hey, what are you doing? I already took care of that. That's your adversary, the accuser, that wants you to get into self-condemnation. But even though you may be in self-condemnation, I'm greater than your heart. I've overcome that. I've taken care of that. The moment you turn to me and confess that, the blood has already taken care of that. I'm no longer holding it against you. You're free to go. Quit living in condemnation. Walk in the freedom wherewith Christ has made you free. By the power of His blood that's been applied to our account, that no longer am I a slave to sin or to fear. But those things have been dealt with already by the blood of Christ. I claim the merits of the blood, amen, that covers me. That's that defensive weapon, amen. I call the blood. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ over my life, amen. And I am shielded, I am protected. Because of the blood, I can come into the throne of my Father with confidence. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Not in my own goodness, but in His goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for your promise. If I confess, you've taken care of it already. The price has already been paid. I need to walk in it now. Walk in that freedom. Walk in that forgiveness. Claim that forgiveness for my life. How many here know what I'm talking about? If you're living in fear and shame and guilt, you can't serve the Lord. And the devil knows that. So he keeps trying to remind you and bring it up and let you grab onto that thing again. You just say, no, I've dealt with that already. I've taken it to the cross. I've taken it to Jesus. I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have someone that I can call on. Amen. And know that the Lord is with me and He represents me at the right hand of the Father as my great high priest, hallelujah, in the heavens. Amen. Amen. Always there. Never going to leave me. Never going to forsake me. I believe that. Amen. Through praise, the lines of communication are cleared. Praise your way out of that confusion. We had a victory yesterday over someone that we were praying over, actually, and they were dealing with tormenting thoughts and things. And we just persevered in pray. And God brought a victory. And what really brought it, hear me, here's an object lesson, is we started singing praises together. There was three of us and brought deliverance. Okay. Guys, I want you to know, and one more thing is preaching. We proclaim the truth. It's the sword of the Spirit. We do it in love. And when we preach the truth by the Spirit of the Lord, hear me, light is released. And where there's light, the darkness cannot dwell. That's why we need to be hearing. Amen. The Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. And when you read, even read out loud, speak the Word of God. Amen. Get it in your hearing. Get it in your spirit. Let the light of Christ, amen, shine into your hearts as His revelation comes through His Word. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth. Truth will set you free. You all know that. And our preaching is also how we defeat the enemy. Again, we're declaring, right, the truth when we preach, when we teach the Word of God. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, I'm going to finish with this one. And my speech and my preaching were not with what? Persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Our gospel is a gospel of power. When we speak, we are supposed to be speaking by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Amen? And He is the Spirit of truth. And wherever there is truth, there is freedom. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom is released when we are in agreement with what is true. And we launch, amen, from this launching pad right here, we begin to preach and teach and declare the Word of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. A highway for our God. Speak it. Speak that word out. Pray. Amen. Give God praise. So important. Plead the blood. Amen. Remember, it was that blood that has made us free. Hallelujah. It has canceled the sin in our lives. Thank God. Hallelujah. When we testify, we overcome the enemy. What we're doing, when we testify, we are actually saying that I am innocent of my sin. No longer are my sins held against me. I testify that the blood of Christ has set me free. I testify that Jesus Christ has forgiven my sins. That Jesus Christ has made me a new creation. I testify that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it destroys the works of the devil. It cancels the assignment of the enemy. The accuser has nothing he can use against you because the testimony has come through that the price has been paid in full. and it's no longer held. I find nothing wrong with this one. Hallelujah. Just as Jesus was without sin, God, in His mercy, makes us clean, amen, and pure and holy and free from the power of sin. And when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. When we make a mistake, thank God we call on Him. Amen. And know that He's there. Paid in full. Taken care of. Walk in freedom, folks. Walk in that freedom. Receive what God said. Don't believe your own testimony. Don't believe your own report. Don't base your experience on how you feel or on your report. Base your reality on what is true. And that is Christ and His Word. Forever settled. God's Word endures. Amen. Forever. If He said it, that settles it. Hallelujah. Are we forgiven today? If you're not, take it to God. Amen. If there's something you need to renounce, something you need to confess, something you need to turn from, if the Spirit of God's been dealing with you today, take it to the Lord in prayer. Confess it before God. Amen. And receive the mercy of God. Receive the forgiveness of God. Today, be free. Amen. He's not holding your past against you. That's why He came. Hallelujah.